Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the fourth quarterly meeting for 2016. If you'd stand for a pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chairman Esposito?
Yes, here.
Vice Chair Wilsey?
Here.
Board Member Pisano?
No.
Excuse? Absent. Board Member Picard?
Here.
Board Member Schroeder?
We're expecting him.
Yeah, he's...
sometime.
We will.
All right. We had the minutes for May 13th and June 24th. And Board had a chance to read them. Any comments with respect to them? Anybody make a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Introduction of guests here at the moment. Your organization. League of Cities.
Yes.
League of Cities.
Nothing important.
I'll be here when the bomb gets here. Introductions?
Sure. My name is Paul Chimone. I'm the Associate Director of the Financial Services Department. I've been with the League 16 years. In one way or another, overseeing the pension fund itself. So, we're here to answer any questions you have about anything related to the fund.
And Jeremy Langley, account executive for the Florida League of Cities, up here with your meeting last quarter.
Right.
Plan on being here on a more regular basis.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And today, in addition to participating in the Board of Trustee meeting, you're going to follow it up with an hour of what they call continuous training for Board of Trustee members. So that'll go from probably, for an hour.
For an hour.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We'll pick up the financial status report, Chris.
Sure. I passed out the report to everybody. It's smaller of the two that I handed to you folks. We had a pretty decent quarter. April and May, we had positive returns. June, we had a little bit of negative fallback in June, but overall, just under $50,000 for the quarter. Normal pension distributions, which right now are averaging about $9,900 a month, and there were a few administrative expenses. Mostly related to the actuarial fees. The bill for the annual actuarial fees came in, which was approved last quarter by the board. It came out of the account during the quarter. So overall, a pretty positive quarter as far as the finances go.
Mm-hmm.
The June, the second page of the financial package is the actual kind of our expense roster of how we're doing versus the budget for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, our budget was $59,500. Through three quarters, we're just under $29,000, so we're well within the budget that the board has set for the current fiscal year. That's on page two. On the subsequent pages is the actual June 30th statement from the league about the pension plan activity. We've got three invoices. Two of which are attached. The third fee is actually part of the league statement that's attached to their quarterly management fees. And there's one follow-up expense from Foster and Foster and some legal expenses from Christensen Banger, which are both attached. So I'd be looking for board approval and consideration and approval on the three invoices noted.
Yep. Anybody want to make a motion? You accept those invoices?
I'll make a motion to accept all three.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
And then I know we have this a little bit later on the agenda, but the next item in the financial packet is the information Ginger pulled together about the Florida Public Pension Trustees Association. I know we'll talk about that a little bit. But there's brochures and calendars and membership applications attached.
You're talking about the conference, the training conferences?
The training conferences, yeah. Okay. I know we're going to talk about that a little later. Mm-hmm. And then a copy of the letter to the state, our annual required letter where we declare the investment return for the plan, which we did at the last meeting at 7.65%. A copy of the letter to the state, sending them our newly adopted investment policy that we adopted at the last meeting that we were here. Also have to send that to the state. That's all taken care of. The third letter is from the state itself, accepting our annual report.
The most important letter.
Most important letter.
The one never comes easy. It always comes with questions.
Well, in this case, it came pretty easy this year. I think we had no real issues.
No, mostly anything was more clerical in nature. Yeah. So this, of course, we look for this one every year, so we're happy to get that. And again, that's the annual report that the state requires. It's fairly lengthy, and it gets prepared each year through the league, prepares it, and kind of a joint effort between us and the league to prepare it and then submit it to the state. Mm-hmm. And that's a state requirement. So we've got that done for the year, so we'll be good there. Right after that letter is actually what I did was I added a copy of Simon Sam's retirement application.
Yeah.
And I think we need to kind of discuss that a little bit.
Well, I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
What happened was Simon Sam was leaving temporarily. And he put in an application for retirement because he qualified for the number of years that he had. We exercised you to provide us with provide him with his eligibilities, okay, and the method by which he could do it. Mm-hmm. And he was interested in that because he was going to Tallahassee or something. But when he got that letter from you describing the various options that he had, it also dawned on him at the same time that he was a pretty young guy, and no matter what he did, he wasn't going to collect anything until he reached retirement age.
Oh, he was under the impression he could start immediately.
Yeah, once he filed the papers, that he was going to start to get paid. So he never concluded the retirement process. Once he got that letter from you, what dawned on him, then he said, all right, what I'd rather do is have an LOA, which was done. The corporation provided him with an LOA. Since then, before the LOA expired, he came back as a full-time member. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's where we stand.
He will have a break in service, right?
Well, and on the LOA.
Right. Was it just like a month or two? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I actually think it was more like 3 months. But by laws, you can have a 6 month before you suffer any consequences.
Gotcha.
And as far as you're concerned, he's back doing what he's supposed to do.
So I think, Charlie, because the board voted to retire him,
right,
we should vote to
unretire him.
Okay. I bring that back because just because the board actions will show that he retired, but he's not really retired.
Okay. Tim, do you want to make any kind of a motion on it? To unretire Simon Sanders?
I know it's kind of weird, but I think just to be safe, we should just do it,
into the proper term.
Retired.
Yeah, or you could potentially rescind the previous motion.
Yeah, I think that's essentially what we have to do.
So we'll rescind on Simon Sam's previous request for retirement.
And with the acknowledgement that he never finalized the retirement process and switched to an LOA. Okay.
Second? I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The next item in the package, which looks like this, it's almost the next to the last page, is a list of retirees that were part of the group that received the one-time retiree distribution. When I was talking with Foster & Foster, one of their analysts came back a couple of months ago and said, what I realized happened was when you guys made the payments, you made the one payment in December and one payment in January for the people that carried over for 2 years,
yep.
The retirees out of the
Because of the requirements for limitation on
Because of limitation. That they, when they recalculated everything, because there was a little bit of a loss in the plan, that in essence those people were slightly overpaid. And those numbers in the middle column, that overpaid number, so for the first person, it's $22.62. That's how much that they were overpaid over for their retirement distribution. When I was talking to Foster & Foster, and I talked with Scott a little bit about it, the amount of money it would actually cost us to try to recoup this from them would far exceed what we've actually given out, which is $495.45. So what I'm really asking the board today is just to make a motion to just absorb that $495.45 in the greater plan, and not try to pursue, because it would cost us a lot more money than $500 to get that money back from all of these people.
Just to clarify for my own purposes, the overpayment for that particular period included not only the retirees but also the at that time active members.
The active members didn't get actually paid anything.
No, but they
but their accounts were adjusted by
right.
the negative.
And you want to readjust that? Or
we're really just talking about these people that actually got overpaid. The active members are accurate.
Okay.
The active members are accurate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the active members are accurate.
It's because they didn't get payment, even
though they were allocated. Yeah, we can just adjust the number in the computer for them.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that's really what board consideration is for the board to consider. We're talking about $20, $30, $40 here in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's not that we couldn't try to recoup it from these folks, but it would be an administrative nightmare to do so.
I make a motion to absorb it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Under $500.
Yeah, I mean, just in Scott's time to write letters, you would spend
$500.
Stamps. Okay.
And then the very last document in the financial papers are the 2017 proposed budget. Again, the board may remember that this is something relatively new that we're required to do more formally over the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
All of this gets basically distributed out to all the interested parties, as well as posted on the Volunteer Firefighter Pension website for information related to that. And what I did here was basically use the same budget that we have for the current year, because it seems to be more than sufficient, and just up the travel training a little bit because of what we talked about, mm-hmm. Related to trying to get some more of the board training next year. So, of course, it's welcome to make any adjustments to it, but I'm just putting this forward for the board to take a look at, and if it meets your approval, we'll just go ahead and ask that you vote on it, and that will be our budget for 2017.
This went up by about $2,000 from the prior?
About $1,000.
$1,000.
I added an extra $1,000 to travel and training, okay. Just to make sure we were covered there. But, of course, we can make any adjustments the board sees fit at this point.
We can make adjustments anytime we need to anyway, if we had to.
If you had to, yeah.
Yeah. Having a problem with that. Anybody on the board want to make a motion, please? No. Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
To accept it. Okay.
Yeah, that's written.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
So what will happen is we'll have Charlie come by the office and we'll both sign this. We have to send a copy to the city administration, and then a copy of this needs to be given out to the membership.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will also get posted on the league's website and our website, so that it will all be out there for everybody to see.
Anybody have any problems with it? Okay. So you want me to come up there, or whenever you have that document.
Yeah, Ginger.
I'll just email you.
Okay, fine. Good, thank you.
And that's all I have for the finance report. That was a lot.
Okay. Anybody have any questions with regard to that? No. Anything in finance?
We're good so far.
Next thing is legal review. Since Scott is not here, we had one issue that we need to discuss. And it relates to qualified years for people who left the volunteer organization prior to 2002. And what prompted that was we had some ex-members who were looking to come back into the volunteers. And in doing so, it broached the question on whether or not that the years that they had as volunteers prior to 2002, would they be considered credited years for this pension purpose? Okay. So, in trying to prepare to answer that question, we figured it would come up, I triggered Scott Christensen, and I proposed to him some wording that would follow what we interpreted the requirements of the ordinance to be with respect to that. And Scott reviewed what I wrote, and he reviewed the ordinance, and he came back and said, we really didn't have to do anything else. He said, the ordinance in and of itself is quite clear. And he gave me the paragraph number and so on, which indicated that the there would be no credited years of service permitted unless those prior years were followed by credited years of either 2002 or 2003. And if you didn't have credit for those 2 years, then there was nothing prior to that. So there may still be some questions from ex-volunteers wanting to come back in, but until they know, you know, what their position is, that's where we stand at the moment. But Larry, this may be a good chance. Is this something you want to add to this?
Or? Yeah, I was going to wait for public comments. But
well, either way, we can do that, because we're going to follow public comments with this anyway.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, I guess I'm the person in question. My name is Larry Ruggieri. I started with the volunteer fire department in 1974. I was a volunteer from 74 to 86. Mm-hmm. I was here before they even had a fire truck. We used to run out of that golf course maintenance shed.
Okay.
With the old board.
Was it with a bucket or?
Excuse me?
Did you run with a bucket or did you have holes?
No, I didn't run. Everybody in the fire department except for me was 80, so there was no running. There was no running. We have a lot of retired guys out of New York. So I understand the way that the ordinance is written, that I'm not eligible because I didn't have a year after 2002 and 2003. My sweat and heartache is no different than any of the other people that got credit for 5 years prior to me. If anything, I started as a firefighter, I went to the lieutenant, I became the captain, I was the assistant chief, the chief. I was secretary of the corporation, I was treasurer of the corporation, I was vice president of the corporation, and I was the president of the corporation. So I've held all the roles. Not that I think I'm more due than anybody else. I think I'm equally due for people that got 5 years prior credited service. My application has been in, and I'm in the process now. I just went and had my TB test. I'm positive, I think. So I want to come back as a volunteer. I've served this community my whole career. From 74, I retired in 2011. I got bored with retirement. I love the fire service. Mm-hmm. I want to come back, and I want to be treated just like everybody else to get my 5 years past service. That's my case. I understand that's the way the ordinance is written now, but this ordinance has changed and has many, many forms over the years since its inception. So, that's what I ask.
Anything else?
Maybe in the public comments.
All right. So, we'll just agreeing to is that according to the way the ordinance is written now...
Yes, I'm not eligible.
You're not eligible.
Correct.
And your point then being is, and we'll have to bring this up at a separate time, is should the ordinance be changed to accommodate it?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Because
I don't understand the reasoning behind having that such a small window. I mean, there may be a reason, but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get back to you in writing on that issue, okay?
Fine.
Okay, great. Any comments?
I do have a question while you're on this.
Yes.
When this was written, was this, I'm assuming it reflects based on when the funding for the program started, and that's why that was written like this?
Yeah. First off, there was no program prior to 2002.
Okay.
So there was no pension benefit whatsoever. In a couple of facets, things changed. In that, when we first began this program, it was based on the defined benefit concept, right? And we established, it started off in 2002 at $35
per year. That's what I was just confirming. First year, and this is probably why it's written that way, the first year of receipt of money from the state was 2002.
Right.
Yeah. And then we, after a while, we went to 50, and then we went to 65. But it was all within the framework of the ordinances that we had. The ordinances changed primarily when we determined that there was excess funds there that had to be distributed that were in excess to that which satisfied the defined benefit plan.
They were in excess to the excess.
Yeah, right. So that was the share plan.
Yes.
Okay. And but prior to the new ordinance 2015-02 that incorporated the share plan, these comments, I believe, were still in the older ordinance with respect to, in order to get prior year service, you had to have had creditable years in 2002 or 2003.
They were.
Yeah.
That word wasn't there.
Okay. So... now it becomes more interesting to people to come back because of the disbursement of the share plan, which is done on an annual basis. But nonetheless, it falls under the same umbrella that the defined benefit is. So that there's, while it's a different form of disbursement, it's governed by the same rules as the ordinances.
My interest. In the fire service was way before any share plan then.
Oh yeah.
That's
So
that's not my motivation to do it.
No, I understand, Larry. What I'm just trying to do is lay the facts out. I'm not making any comment with respect to your feelings. But you know, it's kind of typical in the service because I left Tuxedo after 20 some odd years in the fire service as a volunteer, and 2 years after I left, they come up with a pension plan. Yeah, and I never benefited from that because they had the same kind of criteria on what it takes to incorporate, and all you can get back anyway is 5 years at a maximum. All right. Any other questions on that?
Okay.
New business. And what I wanted to bring up here, and I think you incorporated this, Chris, is the pension, the state pension board committee, whatever you want to call it, requires that trustees have what they call continuing education with regard to the functions of trustees and understanding of how their money is invested and so on. And the state runs, I think, every twice a year, a program. And I've incorporated in the package that we got the applications for attending the, what month? November? The November
second through fourth.
Training program. I'm sorry?
It's the second through the fourth.
Second through the fourth. 3 days. Yeah. Okay. And this is the first day of this conference, if you will, is for what they call new members. And the second and third day is for existing members. But we, anybody could benefit from all 3 days. So the all trustees have been given copies of the application, and the suggestion is that if you can make it, go to it, because it's a part of the required continuing education for trustees.
Charlie, the item that Ginger pulled together based on our last meeting and added to the finance report was actually the Florida Public Pension Trustees Association, mm-hmm. Which is a state association, essentially. They have a board membership, which is an annual fee for, and they also have many educational events, mm-hmm. Of which we, added the document here. The Fall Trustee School is in September. The Winter Trustee School is in January, early February. Annual conference is in June. So they have at least three conferences a year, mm-hmm. all seem to be in the Orlando area. So mostly in within shouting distance. So this is another option. Mm-hmm. The board currently is not a member. And could be. The annual membership is $600 a year. They do have newsletters and other information related to board and pension trustee activities that would probably be of some use to the board. Just something else to consider in addition to the state training. Mm-hmm. This is similar information that you would get at the state training, just put on by this Public Pension Trustees Association. The other benefit of this, oftentimes, is that you meet other trustee members like yourselves, at associations like this, where you can talk about, offline, talk about similar issues and ideas and how things are handled in different locations. So there's oftentimes a benefit to this, so this is something else to consider. I think by being, personally, this is my personal opinion, by having a board membership of this, I think it shows a level of seriousness of the board towards taking care of their fiduciary trustee business, that they're a member of the association, mm-hmm. and that they're participating in potential association events and conferences. So it's something else to consider also, in addition to the ones the state puts on specifically. Paul, have you had any contact with?
They're a private, I guess you would call them a nonprofit organization. You have the annual fee, but then you also have roughly a $400 or $500 fee to go to the conference on top of the annual board member fee.
Is that per person?
Per person, yes. Where the state conference is free, the other one in Tallahassee is like $200. Okay. So one's free and one's like $200, and they put on two a year. The state one is more concentrated on 175 and 185, versus this organization, which also has general employee plans and things that are not related to 175 and 185. Although the bulk of it is still police and fire, there are other types of seminars and things there. Mm-hmm. Their main, in my opinion, thing is to try to get you into what they call their Certified Public Pension Trustee Program, which is at least three conference, beginner, intermediate, advanced. You go through these classes, you take a test to become certified, but then you also have to attend one of their conferences every year going forward in order to continue to be a Certified Public Pension Trustee. So it sometimes can turn into a very expensive training program. I'm not discouraging you from going through that process. I'm just kind of laying out what it is versus the state one, which, again, is basically free. So,
is there any requirement anywhere to be certified?
No. There's no real requirement, quite honestly, on what education is. It's not defined as to, A lot of the attorneys would take your pension board meetings and you're going through the investments and, you know, if Jeremy or I are here and we're talking about them, that's investment education. I mean, you could take that position. You're being educated by the people who run your money and you're talking about it, and that's kind of what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. I would never discourage anyone from getting more education, you know, understanding it. But in particular, the state conference has the new trustee day, the first day of the conference, which is a really great thing for anybody. And it's more administrative in nature than the other 2 days. The other 2 days are investment people. And, but the actuaries and the attorneys will come in and lay out all the board's responsibilities and what you need to be looking at and that sort of stuff, which is very helpful. So, not to discourage you from FPVTA, but you know, it's an expensive sort of endeavor. Now, if you just go, and especially if you go the first time, I would recommend not joining that program and just bounce around. Because if you do join the program, they're pretty much locked into going all the classes at the intermediate or the beginner level the first year. So the first time, if you do go, don't do that program and just go to whichever ones on the agenda interest you. Right. That'd be my recommendation.
You're talking if you go to the state sponsored?
No, to the FPPTA. Okay. The first
and
one.
If you go to the state one, you're not going to try and be recruited by the other organization.
No, they won't be there. Okay. The state is literally all speakers from the state. Foster and Foster's the actuary that comes and speaks at the state conference because the state has a relationship through the old chapter plan process with them. Scott and Lee speak all the time there. And again, it's Orlando and Tallahassee, relatively close in both.
Oh, if you go to the state conference, maybe this has to be looked at different levels, I don't know. We, as the Board of Trustees for Palm Coast, have employed you and Scott Christensen and Foster and Foster, right? And I think it's incumbent upon the trustees to be able to understand what these three agencies do for us. We can't do your job, right? I'm inclined to go along with the fact what was just said. I would like to attend the state conference first and see what that gives us, what supplemental education it would be called. And here we go with you, okay? And maybe you could be here two times a year to do that, not only just brief us on the status of our plan, but also on the ability to understand what changes may have to come.
And that's part of, you know, we've added Jeremy in the last year to our account executive staff. So one of the things that, you know, he's charged with is trying to get to you at least twice a year in person.
Okay.
You know, we are always...
That's your plan, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we are always available by phone. So if you, in the two off meetings that we might... And it may work out, Jeremy can come to every meeting. Uh-huh. It just depends on how our schedules work out. Mm-hmm. But in the off meetings, you can certainly set up a conference phone and we can go over, be part of the meeting, and just sit there in the background. We do that with a lot of our boards. And just sit there until somebody yells at us and asks us a question. So...
Your attending these meetings, is at your expense, or is that
it's just part. I mean, part we're not charging you extra to come, like other vendors might.
Yeah. Like all of the vendors.
Especially in the attorney.
We're not attorneys. Believe me, if I could recoup my time in my car at half my whatever value, I would, but. Not within our structure.
So okay, anybody have any questions on this? Any comments they want to bring up? Yes.
What are the state requirements for continuing education for board members?
So it just says, it's as far as what the education is, it doesn't define what that is. It says, eight hours of continuing, or of investment education is the term it uses. It doesn't even use continuing.
Is that annually or?
Annually. Okay. But again, that's...
I look at my bank account a lot. I'm just
do you go into Morningstar or one of those sites on Vanguard or something and read about mutual funds and the markets? Well, that's educating yourself. So, I think it was the rule is designed for some more structured, like go to some seminar or be in front of some group of experts that are you know, teaching you something. But, you know, there's, I've never seen anybody call, you know, can you prove you had 8 hours? No, there's no one asks that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the part of what we're trying to do, and Paul, this is for your benefit also, and what the city clerk is doing is more formalizing the activities of the board. And that's why we have this new agenda system. So this is a kind of a new look agenda that we have today, and it's more formalized. And we formalized our investment policy, you know, with an actual document. And I think formalizing the fact that the board is going to require or at minimum heavily suggest that new board members go to this new trustee, even if it's put on by the state every year, and that existing board members would each do something every year, whatever that something is, would probably be worthwhile formalizing that.
Yeah, and that's actually where I was going to go, is to a board administrative rule.
Right.
And that's what most of our boards will adopt, is something exactly what you said. You know, new trustees have 1 year to go to the state conference. Current trustees must attend one every other year, or one every year, or, you know, whatever it is that you're comfortable with. But they put that in an administrative rule, and then that, like you said, does offer protection if someone were to ever question, well, here's our board policy, and this is what we do, and we've been following it. So there's some defensibility in that if you were to ever have an issue.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense, because, I mean, that could be a short policy document that just says just what Paul said, that we put it in writing and we have the board adopt it and, you know, get it in our records that this is how the board is going to administratively work going forward officially, you know, whatever that is. But we don't have to decide that today, but it definitely can be something we can at least draft something up, work with Scott, draft something up. And
then take a look at it and see if that's what you want to do.
Exactly.
Okay. Anything else along those lines? Okay. The only other issue I have is that we have a tabled subject yet to go through, and we're not going to do it today, but it's regarding disbursements under the share plan, and we never really resolved that. We'll have to call a special meeting on it in the near future and discuss it.
Huh? You love special meetings.
Special.
This is special to me.
Next board. They're all special.
Okay. Larry, anything more on the public?
Yeah, I got two of those.
Okay.
In the ordinance, under definitions, it has firefighter.
Yeah.
And it says, emergency responders and fire police are also volunteer firefighters. Does that imply that you have other than firefighters and fire police in the pension plan, like administrative people?
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. It's all, we have three categories. You have associates, you have firefighters, and fire police.
Right.
Associates are not considered active. Fire police are considered active. Firefighters are considered active, and they are the only people that get any benefit from this plan. There's no administrative cost to it or anything else.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a special class of like emergency responders. You know, you have a major disaster and they come down and they man a telephone or something.
No, even if they did, the qualification in order to be part of it is you have to have 5 years of qualified service to vest. And within that time frame, you have to also be monitored every year on the amount of service that you provide and meet the criteria that's established both in the plan and by bylaws.
That's for the training and the attendance of meetings.
Yes, correct. The number of calls you make and so on.
And then the other question where it says, under maximum pension, it says, with respect to any year of accredited services, shall not exceed $3,000.
Yeah.
And I've heard, you know, listening to the meetings that that number of the IRS, the whole nine yards. But in Chris's presentation to the city council and his PowerPoint was $4,000. And I didn't know if that was in conflict with the ordinance. And does that $3,000 include the stipend?
No. No, stipend is different than the pension plan. To read that $3,000 limitation, you have to read it as $3,000 per year per year. In other words,
per year of service?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see. Let me just double check.
Because people are annually receiving, obviously, more than $3,000 a year.
Right.
Basically, for any year of service, no one can receive in a year, not earn or anything like that, receive paid more than $3,000 of combined defined benefit, defined contribution.
So how does that work for the sheriff plan? If you have 5 years,
same thing. It's all included. You combine the defined benefit and share. It cannot exceed the $3,000. That's an IRS limitation.
Right. Okay.
And we comply with that.
Yeah, I was just curious about the two different numbers: 3,000 here, and then you had 4,000. Any problem?
Well, I think the 4,000 he's talking about is that time we were saying how much was a share worth under the share
That's
plan,
how much a share
and that came around $4,000. Right? Right. But nobody in
Charlie,
conglomerate.
The easier I guess way to look at it is there's no limit to how much you can add to your balance. There's a limit annually as to how much you can take out. You can only take out $3,000 per year of service.
Per year. So if somebody had 10 years under the share plan, they would get given the check for $30,000 because that was $3,000 per year.
Maximum. But it's this combination of the share plan and the regular pension benefit.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so if they were already retired and they were getting their 65 a year.
Right.
I got you.
That's included in there, too. So it's whatever their 65 a year is, plus whatever they have in their share plan can't exceed, coming out, $3,000 per year. Right. But there's no limit on how big the account value you can get.
That's one of the questions.
Okay.
Sorry, Charlie.
Well, and your plan is complicated and nuanced and different than just about, well, it is different than any other plan we administer.
Mm-hmm. First, they don't have career firefighters in there.
Correct.
Which I'm surprised to see that was stricken out of this new ordinance.
We've never in
it. Was.
Yeah, at the Shelton.
The one prior, it says, I don't know if it was professional or career employees are not eligible for this plan. And this one doesn't say that.
Oh, okay. I don't think they were ever overtly mentioned as part of the plan.
They were overtly excluded from the plan.
Could be.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I don't have it with me.
Yeah, the statement may have, but I don't think there was ever a statement in there that said that the career firefighters were included in this plan. It's always been headlined as purely volunteer.
The old one said they were excluded. So they were overtly excluded. They weren't overtly included.
I got you. That's it. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
That language has been taken out of the 2015 ordinance?
Yeah. I'm not sure I haven't noted that, and I take your word for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I do have one more comment.
Yeah,
is there any possibility of the ordinance being changed where I would get my 5 years past service?
I need to talk to legal about that.
Okay.
And we already would answer anyways.
Yeah. So.
Okay. That being the case, I'd like to go into then the 1 hour training schedule now. We need a motion to adjourn this meeting if there's nothing else that needs to be covered.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Yes, sir. Okay.